Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. And just in a couple of days, we're going to go to E3 2019 live from LA. Stay tuned because we're going to have a lot of content. You can check our past episodes, past coverage from E3 in the previous years. And yeah, we post a lot of content and I hope you're ready for it. Hope you are ready for it. So I called Paris so we could talk about E3 2019, the good, the bad, predictions. xCloud, Game Pass, Nintendo Switch, Bethesda, Capcom. Yo, we talked about everything in this almost 50-minute conversation, phone conversation. And I'm going to play here only on Gamer Tag Radio. Enjoy.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hey.
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 Hey. What's up, man? How's everything, man?
I'm good.
I'm recording this right now. It's going to be our last daily conversations until during or after E3. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah. So your thoughts, man? E3 in a couple days, man. Are you excited or what? Or what's going on, man?
I'm excited for E3. I'm looking forward to seeing what potential surprises still remain. I mean, obviously we know that a lot of these companies are announcing stuff early. Some things like Watch Dogs 3 got leaked yesterday. So, you know, that takes away some of the stuff, but I'm excited. I think the big one obviously is Xbox, Microsoft with what they're going to do, because they're kind of going to get to own the event since they're going to be the biggest presence that's there. They got a lot of announcements coming, you know, between what they're doing with Project X Cloud. I mean, they're on record that they got 14 Xbox exclusive titles they're going to announce. We know the new hardware is coming with Scarlet and Lockhart. Obviously, Game Pass, between that going to PC now, the revamp and stuff, 1 to 10. There's a lot of stuff coming from them. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Microsoft probably going to announce a lot of the old IPs that we haven't seen, like new games from those IPs in a very, very long time. Like, I have a feeling that we might see a lot, like, you know, Perfect Dark, maybe some Banjo-Kazooie. But usually when we hear games like that, we think, oh, it's Rare, it's going to work on it. Most likely it's going to be somebody else, another totally different...
It won't be Rare.
Totally different developers are going to be working on it. Like Battletoads, for example. Rare, you know, has been checking everything out, you know, approving things, but it's a totally different developer that working on that, you know. So I see that. I can see Mechassault, the return of that. I can see a lot of old IPs to bring back. Any IPs that you would like to see Microsoft to bring back if they do announce it on Sunday?
Yeah. You know, my number one is Banjo.
Banjo,
that's
what
I want.
Yeah. You think Conker?
That's what I want.
Conker?
I don't necessarily know if I need Conker back. I mean, if it happens, fine, but it won't be like a, oh my god, Conker's back, like super excited. I'm more excited to see a true Banjo like platforming thing, because that platformers just simply lack on Xbox. Name me the best platform. What, Cuphead?
I think it lacks. Cuphead,
right?
I think it lacks in gaming. Period, man.
Oh well, yeah, that's a whole.
The only company that takes advantage of that is Nintendo, and they've been always doing it right. But PlayStation and Xbox, they're lacking on that, man. We see a lot of shooters, RPGs. Yeah. You see all kinds of genres, but platformers, nah. We don't see that much in both consoles, you know? So, yeah, I would love to see that, man, because honestly, it's cool to create games for mature audience, but, man, sometimes I like to play games with my nieces and nephews. Like, I don't want to show them shooters. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what Super Lucky Tales was supposed to be, but I mean, that obviously didn't catch on.
No, it didn't. But at least they tried. Like, if you don't try, then how you know if you're going to succeed or not, man?
Yeah. So I actually want to spin this into one thing, because this is a conversation that's been happening on Twitter on my timeline the past few days. I just find it hilarious.
Yeah.
I had posted that image of the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which was hinting at, you know, the PC side, the Xbox side, and gold all wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is that'll be $15 a month if they do that.
Yeah.
And I'm basically like, you know what? That's a good value. If you do the math on it, it actually is a good value. And I'm like shocked at how many people have been responding to me saying, oh, this isn't worth it. This is not worth it. Xbox doesn't have games that I care about, blah, 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 blah. So my response to that has been, okay, that's fine. Why do you own an Xbox then? If you find no interest in their library, or you're not looking ahead to the future of what they potentially are going to do with all these studios, why do you own an Xbox? I don't get it. You own an Xbox because you want to play Xbox games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then how is Game Pass not a value? Because all you got to do is a simple math on it. Even the Game Pass Ultimate at $15, do the math. If I have an Xbox and a PC, let's say I buy one PC game a year, I buy two Xbox games a year, right? That right there is $180. Xbox Live Gold is $60. And I'm doing retail. You're getting discounts. I'm saying you're paying full retail. Xbox Live Gold is $60. That's $240 a year. If you do the math on Game Pass Ultimate, that's $180 a year. You're saving $60 a year, and you're getting all the Xbox games that come out in that year, and you're getting select third-party titles on Xbox and PC.
Yep.
So how is that not a great value?
Yep.
And you know what I'm saying? Now, if you have no interest in Xbox games, if you think, oh, Gear sucks, I don't care about Halo, I don't care about any of this stuff, I get it. Then, again, why own an Xbox? Why invest in the Xbox? And I wouldn't. I would just get a PlayStation or just be on PC and go that way.
Let's make believe, Paris, that we're not podcasters, we're not content creators.
Yeah.
Just fans of gaming. And we like the press conference that we get to see on Sunday. And I'm like, wow, all that announcements, all those first party games, the 14 first party games. You know what? I'm going to go to Game Pass just with that alone, if it's good content. But still, there's a lot of great games that people have never played. Forza, Horizon, 1, 2, but not the old ones, but like the current ones, the one that came out now for Xbox One. With that alone, that's a lot of content right there, man. You could play Halo. You could play Gears. There's a lot of games, man. For $10 a month, $10 a month.
Yeah.
How's that a bad thing, though? I don't get it.
No, we're in agreement. And I get saying, well, hey, if you look at what Xbox has done over this generation, they've not had a lot of compelling games that interest me. 100%. I get that. But you're also saying you have no confidence in them fixing that moving forward. All these studio acquisitions, them putting Halo on the shelf for what will be 5 years before we actually get it again, them reinventing Gears. Obviously, what Forza Horizon's been, it looks like Fable's coming back, Perfect Dark potentially could come back. There's a lot of things that I know me personally, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Now, if they screw it up, then okay, that's one thing. I totally get it. But if even half of those games that I announced turn out to be good to great, how is Game Pass not worth the price of admission? Because again, you're guaranteed to get all the first party Xbox games, and you're going to find some hidden gems in there with Game Pass, games that you never would have spent money on. You know what? I got it. Let me try it. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I like this. That's why you're going to start seeing a lot of more third party and indie announcements with Game Pass, because the thing that they're going to bet on is, we're going to give you access to these games that normally you probably wouldn't try or buy. You're going to play them. If you like them, even if they leave Game Pass at a certain point in time, maybe you like it enough that now you'll just go straight out and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't see the value proposition. To me, I don't see an issue with it. And even if you break it up, like, it really is looking like now they're going to have two different Game Pass SKUs, one for PC, one for Xbox. I personally would probably just invest in the PC side of it, because I play more PC games,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still getting all the Xbox games. But I can see it on the flip side. If I'm a console player, you just get the console one. You're getting all the Xbox games, and there's going to be these indie and third-party games that are going to show up on there too. And like I said, $120 a year for just the base Game Pass. How, you're going to spend that amount on games anyways. And again, if you're in the Xbox games, you're really telling me there's not going to be two Xbox games a year that you're not going to buy? Of course you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Again, I don't see how it's a bad thing. Like I said, it was shocking how many people were responding to me just saying, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Ubisoft allegedly is about to start doing one. EA is already doing one. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Sony eventually do one. You know,
yep,
so
agreed.
It's
agreed.
The subscriptions is the future, man. It is whether you like it or not. It's where everything is going. Music is already there. TV and movies have gone there. It's why wouldn't video games? It just makes sense.
And you know what will be a crazy game changer? If Microsoft announces that Project S Cloud is included in Game Pass, if you're a Game Pass subscriber. Game changer.
They have to.
Game changer right there.
I think they have to. Honestly, Danny, I think they have to. Because if you tell me I got to pay for that, and I got to pay for Game Pass, and I got to pay for Xbox Live Gold, guess what? I'm not doing Project X Cloud. That's what's going to happen.
It's too much. It's too much, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so
I think that would be smart.
They're going to have to give up something. Yeah. They're going to have to give something up for free, which, going on the lines of Project X Cloud, and I know you and I were joking about this on Twitter yesterday, mm-hmm. but look, we freaking called it, man. We called it. You can go back to that podcast in October 2018, because this was around the time that Apple had some announcement. They were talking, it was the new iPad Pro coming out. And we had talked about it on the podcast right before that happened about, you know, basically bringing Xbox controller support to iPad, to all these devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then the iPad Pro came out and it was like, wow, this looks like a great thing. I had tweeted at Phil Spencer and he responded. Like, yeah, this looks like a great thing. Da, da, da. I was like, what's going on here?
Man, that was a hit.
Sure enough.
That was a hit. You know that.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
And then what happened yesterday? tvOS and iOS 13 have native Xbox and PlayStation controller support. So what that means is now you can, any game that you play, because Apple's coming out with their own arcade thing, you could just use your Xbox One controller on it or your DualShock 4 and play those games. But what it also means is, as we've already seen a game like Cuphead go to the Switch, Microsoft could natively put a Cuphead, a Ori, things like that on the Apple TV. And you play with your Xbox controller. You're good.
Yeah.
And 100%, it will not shock me if this happens Sunday, but 100%, there will be an Xbox app on iOS where you can do the cloud streaming.
Yep.
That's happening.
Yep.
You can't tell me that doesn't happen.
And Paris, we talked about this, man. But do you remember I said I could see Switch happening now more than ever because of all these announcements right before E3? Like, the timing has been kind of like crazy. Sony, Apple with iOS devices, right? Of course, we're going to see, you know, smartphones, Android, all that for xCloud. But now, more than ever, I have a strange feeling, more than ever, that we are going to see Nintendo on stage for xCloud for the Nintendo Switch. I can see that now more than ever. Before, I mentioned it because it just made sense. But now, because of the timing of all the announcements, dude, I can see it. I can see it now, man. Big, big time, man. And honestly, tell me a company is going to say no. No, we don't want that on our device. Because honestly, a lot of people will go buy a Nintendo Switch just to try S-Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be smart. It's super smart. And if that happens, Paris, when we're there checking out the press conference live, dude, the crowd's going to go nuts. Just imagine the president of Nintendo on stage announcing their partnership. Or anybody, or anybody from Nintendo just on stage. Oh, my yeah. God, dude, it will be crazy.
It's where everything is going now, which I'm so happy to be alive in this time, because you can see where gaming is going. Everything. Mm-hmm. It's not about I'm Xbox, I'm PlayStation, I'm Nintendo, or I'm PC. Like, all that fanboy nonsense is starting to slowly fade away, because what you're seeing is these companies are all partnering up together now.
Yep.
And even the games, because this is what I said on the podcast, man, Call of Duty Modern Warfare coming out, a big flagship AAA game that is typically one of the top two selling games every year for the past 10 plus years. It's been that way. Is doing crossplay.
Yep.
That's freaking huge, man. It's huge because it opens the floodgates to every other game that has some kind of co-op or multiplayer support to do a form of cosplay. Because now, as gamers, we're going to expect it. Why can't I play with my friends on PlayStation if I'm on Xbox? If I'm on PlayStation, why can't I play with my friends on PC? Fortnite has been doing it now for, a year? Mm-hmm. Now, right? Good year. Yep. PlayStation finally relented and mm-hmm. they're doing it. Yep. So it's like, now that those floodgates are open, that's what I mean. Like, Destiny, Bungie's going to do that announcement on Thursday. Guess what everyone's anticipating them to announce? They're going to do some form of crossplay or cross-save.
I see Destiny, that too. I see it too, man.
Which is freaking huge. Imagine them, because now all these exclusive nonsense deal, all that stuff's going to start going away, man, because it's like, buy whatever play. If you want to play it on PlayStation, play it on PlayStation. But you're going to be able to play with your friends no matter what platform they're on. PC doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't.
Why should it matter? The technology is there.
The only thing that makes sense is just marketing deals, just to have that game on like TV commercials. That makes more sense than actual like exclusive time exclusive. Like, that doesn't make no sense anymore. And here's the thing that I was thinking about, Paris, a couple days ago. I was like, let me go back. 2013 was Don Matrick on stage. Then when Phil took over, I remember him speaking at the press conference. Do you remember that everybody was in shock when he started mentioning all these companies? Nintendo, Sony, PlayStation, on stage on a Xbox press conference. Because look, we're not used to that. At that time, we were like, what is this? This is crazy.
I
think the planning was from the beginning, 2014 or so. When Phil Spencer took over, that's when he wanted this change, man. Forget about the fanboy nonsense. They already got acquired Minecraft, and it's in all platforms. Let's now continue to put more of our products and our services in all platforms. Because honestly, think of it as like Disney Plus, the streaming service. They have it for very, very cheap. But how long the company said that it's going to take for them to make a profit? I think I see the same exact thing with Xbox. Add xCloud to either Game Pass, which most likely is going to be more Game Pass than Xbox Live Gold. But add it in there and add in every single device. Make it cheap as possible, or don't charge extra. And it's going to take a long time. They have a projection. They're like, okay, we're going to make profit at this time if we do this right. And it'll be even faster on more devices if they have it on smartphones, mobile devices, consoles, everywhere. Apple TV, partnership with Samsung, or whoever, Android, Apple, Nintendo, Sony, who knows? And they will make a profit, man. It's been there since the beginning, man, since 2014. Go back, anybody listen, go back, search on YouTube and look for Xbox Press Conference 2014. Phil Spencer started He started a press conference with that in 2014. And I remember that. I was thinking about that. Like, dude, they wanted this from the beginning. That was the early planning stage.
No, they did. I mean, again, that's when Phil Spencer took over and that started laying the seeds. And then, you know, like I said, I think the current path that they're on right now truly started in 2016, because that was when, you know, they did the more Windows 10 integration, Xbox Play Anywhere, and it's just been this gradual build to get to where they are. Then, what was it? 2017 was Xbox One X, and then obviously now we're going to get even more hardware, and the cloud stuff is taking off. They're doing even more integration with Windows 10, and they're blurring the lines of it not being about the hardware anymore. And I think that's the biggest message that Xbox is putting out there, which is just going to simply lead the way, is it's not about where you play the game. It's just, hey, are you playing our games? That's all it should matter at this point.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter if I buy a PlayStation, I buy a Switch, PC, doesn't matter. Just play the games. And that's what Microsoft is headed to. That's what Microsoft as a company is doing, just with subscription services, you know, is the way they're leading all their cloud services now. So it just makes sense. So yeah. I'm excited to see. But the thing that this all comes back to, which has been Microsoft's problem this entire generation, is the games. You got to have the heavy hitting games. You got to have the, oh my God. Look, PlayStation has been kicking their ass
when
it comes to games that I care about. Because when I look back at this generation, when I think about the top 10 games that I care about in this generation, there's at least six PlayStation games that are on there. At least six. And the rest of them are probably third-party games. Because I cannot, and this is just the God honest truth, there is not a compelling Xbox One exclusive game that I care about this generation. Gears 4 was okay.
Forza Horizon, maybe the closest for you?
Horizon's probably the closest, but I almost just, to me, I don't count racing games, but that's just me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
To me, but it's a very important game to me, man. Like, Horizon.
No, it is. And that's the one shining light that they've had has been the Forza Horizon franchise that really took off this generation. But let's be real, Danny, outside of that, Cuphead and Ori, what else? Seriously, what else?
Well,
I can't.
I'll say Sunset, but a lot of people might disagree. But that's just me, you know. So that's the thing, Paris. Like, everybody's gonna have different tastes, different type of flavor, like the genre, the ones that they like. I get it, you know. But
to your point on Sunset, and again, it's all opinion. It doesn't matter. I know you love it. I didn't, but the truth of the matter is, we never got a sequel to it, and we're probably not going to get a sequel to it. If the game, and that's kind of what we're saying here, is a game that has enough mass appeal that you're going to start seeing sequels to it, that you can anticipate the next one and be super excited about it. They've not had that. I mean, I'm excited for Gears 5 in the sense that I felt like Gears 4 was just, let's just start from scratch. Let's get a new characters in there. Now Gears 5, they can build off of that. And just the rumors that have come out so far, it sounds like they are. So I am very excited to see what they're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, Gears 5 has to be a hit for them. It has to be a hit, or people are going to simply stop caring about the Gears franchise. Why would you care about it if the last two Gears of Wars have been lackluster? And look, let's spin this right into Halo. Halo Infinite has to be one of the biggest games we've seen in the past 5 years. It has to be. Because if it's not, they potentially could have killed the Halo franchise. If it's not. If after all this anticipation, all the work that they've been putting into Halo to say, look, we screwed up 5, we're going to get it right this time. If they don't nail it, it's going to be a problem. Yeah. And I'm confident they are going to nail it, by the way. I'm not saying that they're not. I truly think Halo Infinite is going to be a very special game, but it better be for the sake of that IP as much as, because Halo means, dude, we're not talking right now if it wasn't for Halo.
Oh yeah,
that's just God honest truth,
dude. I used to record the podcast through the Halo 2 lobby back in the days.
Yeah, Yeah.
That's how I started.
That's how revolutionary that party system they invented for Xbox Live
was. Amazing.
Xbox Live is the way it is today because of Halo 2.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, trust me. You have no idea how disappointed I was with Halo 5. For the simple fact of, I go, this is not Halo. What is this?
Yeah, but to you, it was more the campaign than the multiplayer. The multiplayer was fun, but it was...
The multiplayer's fine.
Yeah, and I loved, new things they added in the multiplayer. It was just the story. I get it. Now...
But again, just to stick on the Halo thing real quick.
Yeah.
But see, that's kind of the thing. Part of the big appeal of Halo was that campaign, was that story, Master Chief, Cortana, Sergeant Johnson, all that. That's what got you in the door. It was the multiplayer that kept you around. And yeah, Halo 5 multiplayer was pretty good, but it still lacked that magic that we had during that Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3 era, man. That was just gold.
Yeah.
Just absolute gold. And hopefully they can recapture that. I really hope they can.
Let me tell you something, Paris. This is why I know I'm bringing this back a lot, but this is why the partnership with Microsoft and Nintendo is super important, not only for me, but just the industry overall. I think that let's make believe, Paris, that Sunset Overdrive is a Nintendo Switch exclusive. Let's just make believe that Insomniac created that game for the Switch and released it. I think that game would have been more successful sales-wise. Even with like Rare, with Sea of Thieves, let's say it was a Nintendo Switch exclusive, it would have been even more successful. Like, I feel that the Nintendo crowd, they love playing new and strange games more than the Xbox crowd. It's harder. You will find those gamers on the Xbox side that they love to play games like that. But I think the majority from that side, they rather just play mainstream, Call of Duty or other type of games. My question to you, if these games would have been a Nintendo Switch exclusive, you think would have been a more successful game?
I mean, that's hard to say. I don't know.
I think it would. Personally, it
just never appealed to me. It didn't matter the platform it was on.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there was more of an audience on the Switch that would have appealed to.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't one of them.
But this is why I'm mentioning that now. If Microsoft announces a partnership with Nintendo this Sunday and they have all those games on, let's say, Xbox Game Pass or X Cloud, whatever. I don't know how they plan to do. But imagine they announce that. And more Nintendo Switch owners are going to discover games like Sunset Overdrive. What was another one? Any first-party games that wasn't that big. What was the other one, too, Paris? That we were kind of excited. And then we played. We were like kind of like, Recore. I think if those games are also going to be available on the Switch, a lot of Nintendo Switch.
I think you're pushing it. No.
But it's
a good game.
I'm not saying it's going to get better reviews. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is more people are going to try it out because now it's available on Game Pass, it's on every system. The Nintendo Switch crowd are going to try it out.
Yeah. I do think you're putting way too much emphasis on the Switch being the thing that's going to push this over. The thing that's going to push this over is the fact that it's going to be on mobile devices.
It's going to
be on your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPad, things like that, because more people have those devices.
Oh, yeah,
that's what Microsoft is pushing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from the Nintendo side, Paris, I'm not saying like, of course, mobile is... There's more people with mobile devices than any other console out there, period. But I'm talking about
being a success,
like just more people playing it. It's because...
But see, I have to disagree with you, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I kind of agree more with Andrew and Renee in this sense.
About what?
That I don't think there's going to be this gigantic Switch announcement this year. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think you're going to...
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think you'll see some more native games come to the Switch, potentially. but I don't think you're going to have Dan Bowser out there and he's trumpeting Project X Cloud, because I think it's more of, hey, if you want to put a native game on the Switch, we're all for it. But I don't think the big push right now, maybe a year or two down the road, is going to be to get that X Cloud app on the Switch. I think the push is more to get it on mobile devices. That's what I think.
I'm still not sleeping on that. I think that's what's going to happen, in my opinion. But hey, I might be wrong, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it.
Oh, no, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't disagree. But, I mean, you know, outside of the Xbox stuff, obviously, you know, Cyberpunk is something I'm really looking forward to. Pretty sure it's spring 2020 at this point. I don't think it's coming this year. I will say, though, you know, if the leak is true and what they're planning to do with Watch Dogs 3 happens, I'm very intrigued to see that as well. I think that could be something unique to do.
What is it that they're saying about the leak?
You can be any NPC character. You get to play as any NPC character in the game.
Oof.
Yeah. Holy Which kind of sounds like everyone's, like, again, it's going to be near future London, kind of cyberpunk world. Didn't say that, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, more advanced technology. And obviously, you know, Watch Dogs is all about hacking and things like that. My guess is everyone's going to be connected through some kind of chip, you know, on some kind of network. And you're basically going to be able to hack into anyone you want at any time when you're in a game. Play as them. So I think it can create some unique gameplay loops if they're able to pull it off, if the technology allows it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they announce.
You know, I was reading, I think I sent you that article today where I can't remember the name of the website that posted this, but
Paul Thurrott? You're talking about Windows.
Oh, yes. So the rumor is that first part is going to be good. It's going to be decent, right? From Microsoft. But supposedly this is going to be the strongest third party showing in the company's history.
Wait, why are we going back to the Xbox?
No. I'm just saying third party. I'm talking about third party games. So most likely, of course, Cyberpunk will be there. Watch Dogs, I think, will be a perfect place to announce it, right? At this place, or do you think Ubisoft should save for their show?
It wouldn't surprise me to see it get announced at Xbox, and then you get more details, more in depth, you know, at Ubisoft. That's probably what happens. I mean, EA would always do something similar as well, where something would announce at Xbox, and then you go to the EA press conference, you'd get more information there. So I could see that.
What are the chances of companies like Warner Brothers, Capcom, maybe Sega, Bethesda, announcing new games at the show or save it for?
Again, Bethesda, since they're having their own thing, I don't think they're going to, similar to Ubisoft, they might have an initial announcement, but the bulk of the information will be at theirs. But the rest of them, like Warner Brothers, Sega, and all that, I mean, there's no PlayStation this year. So if you want to get your game announced on a big stage, you're going to have no choice but to do it at Xbox.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Overall, I'm excited, dude. I'm excited for
what's interesting. Coming, speaking of that.
About what?
PlayStation obviously has the marketing deal for Call of Duty. So Call of Duty ain't getting announced at Xbox, so there's not going to be a big again, goes back to what I've been arguing forever. There isn't going to be a big E3 press conference announcement for Call of Duty this year.
No, they have a meeting room for that.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a media briefing, a press conference.
Oh, no,
for
no.
Everybody.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Changing, man. Look, this very well may be the last E3 I ever go to. We'll see. Might be it.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, too.
Depending on what it changes into and where it goes to. I mean, we'll see. This might be it, man.
If it goes to Vegas, will you potentially go?
I'd probably still go if it went to Vegas. But again, is it going to be worth my time to go? That's the question I ask myself. I mean, yeah, it's great to see people and do all that kind of stuff, but for the actual, like, I feel like we get more done before E3 than we do during E3, which is the problem with E3. So is it worth the trouble of going? And we'll see what it evolves into after this show. But I'll tell you right now, this current format of the way they have it this year will not be the way it is next year. It's going
to
change.
Yeah, it has to change, I think. Has to change. If they do change the location, I think it has to be in the West Coast, man, to make it easier, not only for the gaming companies that are located around there in California, but also like Japanese developers. Overall, it's just easier for companies to travel. Because I think they take it to, let's say the ESA takes it to the East Coast. Man, that's going to be just like weird.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
Yeah. See, like people like you won't go. If it's, let's say, New York City, you won't go.
Yeah, I probably won't go.
Yeah. You better just stay home and watch it. A lot of people won't go.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
If it leaves LA, it's. I think Vegas. Vegas makes the most sense. I could potentially see San Francisco as well, but it'll stay on the West Coast for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. Oh, by the way, Paris. So I was looking online that Ubisoft is going to have a Blacks content creator event, I think, showcase, right? That's pretty cool, man, seeing that. I know Xbox have done that in the past. They had, I think it was Blacks and Latinos, I think women in games. They had, like, during GDC. But I've never seen a company doing that during E3. I have never seen that, ever. This is, like, the first time that I'm seeing it. I think that's pretty cool, man. That's really, really cool. It stood out to me like, wow, that's awesome, man. Because, you know, the first time I went to E3, I felt, yeah, as a gamer, it was cool and everything. But as somebody that's from like Latino side, I felt like there wasn't that many Latinos at that time at the event.
There isn't, and there still isn't.
And I mean, no, there's more now. I think that's because of social media, and I think now it changed a little bit, right? But it's still small, but it's better, a little bit better compared to back then.
Let's be real about something. Since this is our freaking show, we can say whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit, but it sure as hell still ain't enough. I'm just going to be blunt. There's still way too many white faces out there and not enough brown faces. Or dark enough, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. There is still not enough diversity in our industry, and that is the problem. So the thing that you're talking about with Ubisoft, yeah, they reached out to me a couple days ago, so I'm going to go. Absolutely, because we need more representation in this industry. There are way too many voices out there, creative minds out there that don't get enough shine that should. And on both sides of the fence, on the development side and on the quote-unquote content creator side. Look, I'm gonna keep it 100. I look at a lot of these gaming events. Like I'll take Destiny as an example, just as an example.
Yeah.
Outside of me, how many other people of color do you actually see talking of getting any kind of spotlight on that game?
Agreed.
You know, when I've gone to a community event, and I'm not saying there's not people of color and all that do things. Of course there are, but how many of them get the spotlight? How many of them have you seen when Destiny does a Twitch stream that they're being featured? How many of them do when you see a podcast like the Destiny Community Podcast? And I've been on there. How many other people of color do you see get represented on there? When I look at the Division, it's the same thing. How many people of color do you see get represented on a game like that? When I look at something like Fortnite, how many people of color do you see get represented on there? The list goes on and on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't enough. There isn't. And we're out there. And we buy and play games just like everyone else. I'm tired of seeing the same faces over and over and over again. That's why, like what Kind of Funny does, Greg Miller and those guys, I love that they are purposely trying to reach out to spotlight more people of color, you know, so they can get some kind of shine.
I think that's awesome.
Can be represented.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Great. And look, I know people hear this and they get mad, blah, 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 blah. 45 years old, I don't care. I really don't. I'm too old to care anymore. I don't care because it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to like what I say, but it is the truth because I dare you to show me where it's wrong because it's not. And there's enough of us out there that are all saying this, that you got to have a Ubisoft or an Xbox literally have an event for people of color so that we can get some kind of representation, so that we can get in front of these developers and these publishers and everything to show that, hey, we matter too. You know,
yeah.
There's certain PR people out there that we know that purposely look out for people like us to make sure we get access to things like that. There's not enough of them. And that's the problem.
You know which one I think it was like the most impactful to me when we got invited and I got to see everybody that was there at the event? It was Far Cry. Far Cry 5. We went there and there was a lot of people of color there, man. It was blacks, Latinos, whites, everybody. Because usually when we go, I'm like the only person of color there, like the only Latino at the events. But that event, I felt like it was well balanced. I was like, wow, this is what I would like to see more in the future. You know, just have...
That's the problem. That's the problem. I can give you even a recent example. When I went to that Anthem Capture event, hell, even when I went to the quote-unquote secret Anthem stuff when we were playtesting and giving our feedback, I'm the only brother there. Actually, that's not true. There was one other. There was only two of us there.
What about Battlefield? How was that when you went to
Sweden? It was just me and Hip Hop. It was just me and Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah.
And that was a ton of people. We all went out to Sweden. It was just me and Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but this is my point. There needs to start being more representation out there, and we get to hear more unique voices and do things, because again, there's a lot of talented people that just simply don't get the opportunity. Because the thing that you and I have been saying since the beginning, that when we started doing all this stuff, is keep your games. I don't need you to give me a free game. Give me access to talk to the people that are making the games. And now we're in such a visual age with video. Give me the opportunity to go to a preview event where I can capture footage that I can edit and put on my Twitch channel or my YouTube channel, and I get to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. Like, I'll even say this. Like, there's certain E3 opportunities. Like, obviously, I'm not going to be at E3 a lot, but there's certain, you know, E3 opportunities where you'll reach out to a PR person and then just crickets. They never get back to you, but you know, because they don't know who you are. But at some point, you got to take a risk on someone, man. You can't just keep going to the same pool of people every freaking time.
Yep.
Because there's way more voices out there than that. Mm-hmm. And they don't get the representation that they should get. And I'm saying this as someone who has had way more opportunities than I can ever possibly dream of. Right. I'm good. I can walk away from this tomorrow and I've had a good run. I'm happy. I'm done. Mm-hmm. That's great. But it ain't talking about me. I'm talking about there's way more other people out there that I know that are super talented, that have super great opinions and views on the gaming industry, that never get a freaking drop of shine.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
And here's the thing.
Absolute problem.
I totally 100% agree with you with that, man. I've gotten opportunities back then, but it was because there was people in the industry that found out about us, that did the research, and they wanted to work with us, and they gave us access, you know, not knowing what was going to happen. Imagine, Paris, I'm there doing my thing. I'm getting buzz from like media outlets picking our content up and they're putting on their website and everything, right? And then companies start working with us, right? But there's so many people out there that they don't get that access, and they are great content creators that PR or anybody in the gaming industry that's trying to look for content creators, they don't do their research. I mean, I get it. It's kind of hard sometimes, but they're out there, man. Out there. Do some research. Find out on Twitter and social media to find these content creators and give them an opportunity, man. Like how companies gave us the opportunities back in the days. And the rest is history, you know. But it was just that part. I really don't care about the games. I know a lot of people are going to be surprised about that, Paris, because we've been saying that from the longest. I could care less if I get a free game or not, man. Give me access. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
My question
to
you.
And that's what it comes down to.
My question to you, a lot of people are going to ask, wait, wow, really? You don't want no free games? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I don't want no free games. But to you, why do you say that? Like, who cares about free games? Because we could buy the games if we want. You know what I'm saying?
And that's kind of the point. I can easily go buy a game. That's not an issue. Do you really think I'm going to be stressed out if CD Projekt Red doesn't give me a review copy of Cyberpunk. Yeah. No, I'm going to go freaking buy it because I want to play that game. I'm going to play it regardless. You don't have to send me a free game of that. I don't care.
Yeah.
But it sure as hell, and again, I'm just going to use that as an example, but it sure as hell would be nice to go to a preview event for Cyberpunk where I get to interview the development team and I get to sit down with it early and I get to, you know, and I get to do some quote unquote content creation of it. That's what I enjoy to do. I just want the access.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. The game, the final game, I could care less. I really could because I will go buy that myself. You know what I'm saying?
Perfect example. When Paris came out last year, I said to myself, let me record his reaction. It wasn't paid. It was genuine, keeping it real, 100, like real, a real moment right there. I recorded that video. Paris coming out right after checking out the presentation of Cyberpunk 2077. And it was like, what, maybe a minute long? Maybe a minute and change? I can't remember exactly the time, but that video still to this day, there's people from CD Projekt Red that retweets that. I think some guy randomly asked, what is your favorite E3 gaming moment? And the PR for CD Projekt Red for that game retweeted that. I was like, he retweeted my video. And I'm like, wow, people truly love this moment, man.
Because it was real.
It was real. And it wasn't you trying to get a free game or anything. Like, it was like, yo, you kept it real right there at the moment, you know?
I had no idea you were doing that. I'm literally, look, I'm just in there just watching it. I mean, it was me and Stein from Xbox. We sit next to each other, or Mixer now, sitting next to each other, all hype, watching it, just grin on my face. Yo, I'm just walking out excited. I had no idea you and Pete were even going to be there.
Yeah.
And then you just, boom, you got the camera in my face. And that was just my instant, like, think about what I said at that time, the way I described it, because that's just how I truly felt. I didn't have any time to think about it or anything.
Yeah.
That was just right off the top of my head how I felt about the game. But that's kind of the point of what you're bringing up, that video. It's, I love doing this shit. That, just to be blunt, I freaking love doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It ain't about, look, I have enough stresses in my life. I got 3 kids, more, all that stuff. So my number one goal is to take care of them. But the thing that I love to do that puts a smile on my face, obviously talk with you and Pete about gaming, you know, creating videos. Like, I just love to talk about the industry. We love to try and forecast to the future what we think is going to happen, things like that. And then I have my go-to games that I absolutely love to just sit down and play. It's because I freaking love this. It ain't about, all right, man, all right, let me contact Bethesda and see if I can get a free game because I just need a free game. I don't care about that. If Bethesda has a game that I truly want to play, like Wolfenstein as an example, I'm going to go get Wolfenstein. I'm not going to worry about not getting a review copy for it. That's whatever.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter. So, I don't know. And I think a lot of people don't get that or understand that on both sides of the fence. Because I truly do think there's a lot of PR people out there that do think all it is about just, they just want free games.
Yeah.
When it's like, no, we just want access. Keep your game. We just want access. We can get that code to someone else.
I'm going to give you a perfect example. Example of that, Paris.
Real quick. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, we know for a fact there are a lot of people out there that they're just freaking greedy and they're just trying to get games, which hurts us.
Yeah.
The people that don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I agree. Here's a perfect example about that. We get access with Nintendo. I'm getting a booth tour at E3. Every year, I always get a booth tour. I'm going to get to play all the games that's going to get announced during Nintendo Direct. Do you think Nintendo's going to send me Mario Maker 2?
No,
I'm buying it. But they at least they're giving me access to talk about the games I'm going to be playing on that's coming up for the Switch on our show. And, you know, years ago, yes, I used to get free games from Nintendo. But, you know, there was changes, which is a very long story. Some stuff that happened. from another concert creator that basically messed it up for everybody. But just giving me access, I'm fine with that, man. I'm okay with it. You know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to go in, play all these games, games that I'm super hype about, especially Super Mario Maker 2. Like, I'm excited for that game, man. Super excited. But guess what? After E3, once I get hands-on, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pre-order that game because I'm excited. And I don't care that Nintendo's not going to give it to me for free. So that's an example right there, man, about that stuff, man. You know?
Yeah.
So anything else, Paris? Anything else?
I mean, I guess that's it. Kind of went off on a freaking rant about that stuff.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. It's daily conversations, man.
Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, obviously, you know, looking forward to seeing you guys Saturday when you get in.
Yeah, it's going to...
You know, lying out. We'll Sunday, do the Xbox stuff. I guess maybe Bethesda. I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I mean, Monday obviously is going to be packed too, but should be good. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I can't be at E3 the entire time, but
it's all good. You know, it's all good.
I'll do what I can.
Hopefully, I mean, maybe during the week, we probably will call you very quick for like a quick daily conversation or something. I don't know. We'll see from the hotel or the apartment. We'll see. I don't know. See how the flow is going during the week of E3, man, because it's going to be kind of, it's going to be crazy and stuff, but I'm excited overall, man. I don't know. Like, I feel like this is going to be a very special E3. Just a combination of the announcements. Maybe it might be the last one in LA. There's going to be a lot of people that we know is going to be there. And changes is coming. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just a combination of all this stuff. Like, I feel like this is going to be a very important E3 for us to attend, man. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So. All right, Paris, just wanted to, you know, call you up and talk about some pre-E3 stuff, you know?
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good, man. All right. Later.
All right. No problem.
Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast. Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.